Hello and welcome to a reasonably quick update on connecting consciousness. People say, well, where have you been? Where are you? Please remember that, I'm not on YouTube. They banned me, and I'm not on Facebook. They banned me. And of course, on YouTube, I was getting something like 3 million views, and on BitChute or anyone else, it's in the hundreds of thousands, and that's why YouTube take the action they do, because they don't want the truth, they don't want the message of hope getting out to millions of people, and they know that for many people can't be bothered to go and find BitChute or any of the others. They're just addicted to YouTube, because it's the go-to site. It's the one that's been around quite a long time, and unfortunately, instead of looking for me or going to my website and saying, "Oh, Simon's over there," they'll just say, "Oh, he's not there. He's gone off. He's disappeared." I haven't disappeared. Here I am. All right. So let's do some updates. The difficulty is I've got to say a little bit, but say nothing. A lot of people in the industry, can I call it that, have been told to not give any information away at this critical, crucial time. Some key speakers having to be incredibly circumvent in what they can and can't release. We know that what we call the bad side are particularly following a number of speakers in an attempt to understand or get a glimpse as to what the good guys' plans are. That's exciting because it tells us that the good guys have done a really good job and the bad guys actually are wondering what actually is next, what's going to happen. And so the bad guys now no longer have the technology to, crack into codes or communications. So they're reduced to listening to, those who do such updates and talks, which isn't actually, we don't gain anything, any happiness out of that, but we are cognizant of the fact that those of us who do receive information now have to have a duty to ensure that nothing is said that can allow others to second guess. And that's a shame because so many people want hope, so many people want to be told something is coming. I can tell you something's coming, but I'm not going to be able to tell you in what format it's coming. So it's not quite the same, is it? Anyway, I can run through some things, and I'm going to do that. So there's lots of talk about the financial, the new quantum system, and there's a big debate as to whether it might activate soon or whether it's already activated. But I can't say whether it's happened or whether it's about to happen or whether it's, what date it could happen on. What I want to talk to you about is there are now a number of organizations setting up doing international money transfers. There have been lots of them for a number of years where you send electronic money abroad, not just through your own bank account, but you can do it through a third party. And they have always traditionally taken money off you. They are now setting up where there's no fees. You actually can send money from one country to another, and there's no fee being charged. I was watching one of my favourite black and white films, a Danger Man film with Patrick McGoohan, and a person made a the day before cell phones, mobile phones. A person makes a phone call from a call box, a phone booth, and I said to the person next to me, I said, "Look at that. Why do you have to pay to speak to somebody? Everything on this planet is you got to pay for it. You got to pick the phone up. You got to put the money in before you do anything. You got to pay for it before you get anything." And we are all completely brought into that system that you don't get anything for nothing. You have to pay for it, and the more you pay, the better it is. My good friend Wynne Keach told me that, his family were involved with lots of inventors, and they were inventing a game called Tautopoly. It is like Monopoly. Monopoly came first, and then Totopoly came afterwards, and that's why it's got the Opoly after it. And the person who I can't say who it is because I haven't got the permission to say the name of the person, but the person who invented it back in the 50s, I think it was, or maybe it was even early, maybe it's the 30s, I don't know. But when it was invented, the person inventing it, I guess, was a bit like us. And this person said, I want it as cheap as possible because I want lots of families to be able to buy it and play it on a Sunday evening. It's a lovely idea. So they did it and they kept the price low. It didn't sell. Absolutely didn't sell. And Wynne said to me that when this member of the family went back and they said, well, what's going on? It's a fantastic game. And I indeed have a copy of a 1950s or 30s version here with the metal horses. And some of you listening to me may have the more modern plastic version, or you may have the old version. The wartime version, there were little wooden blocks because there was a war on. And this member of the family said to the distributor, what's going wrong? And the distributor said, do you know what? It's so cheap, people won't buy it. And he said, what do you mean they won't buy it? And he said, because they don't think it's any good. You know, you charge twice, we double the price, you'll sell it. Because people will think, oh, it's a lot of money, it must be a good game. The person said, well, that's ridiculous, that's ludicrous. But he went with it and said, we'll do it. And that's exactly what happened. They doubled the price, they flew off the shelves, and it became one of the most famed of favourite games in Great Britain. But the sad point about my talk here is that instead of getting exactly the same game for a reasonable amount of money, they double the price because people were so programmed into the belief that if it's cheap, it's rubbish. If it's cheap, it's no good. And of course, that's what manufacturers want to do, developers, anybody. High end, lots of money, big profit, and you'll just buy it because that's what you've been born into it. So I think I just give you that. We should begin to see things changing on this planet. We should begin to see the individual put first and not the organization. Do away with the greed. Do away with this crazy Babylonian type need to control and to build a greedy profit. So that's that. Hopefully go. Let's go on to Bitcoin. Let's have a look at Bitcoin. It had been doing incredibly well, and then Elon Musk put 1.5 billion. Wasn't his money, by the way. 1.5 billion into it to do a test, and was a test to see how the system would cope if you stuck 1.5 billion into it. How would the system really cope? And everybody thought, wow, it's the go-to currency, it's the go-to bond, it's the go-to crypto. And that's how everyone has been programmed. So everybody went and piled money into it, and up and up and up and up it went. What they didn't understand was the 1.5 billion that was put into Bitcoin wasn't put into Bitcoin because it was going to be a good, safe bet. It was going to go on climbing and climbing. It was put in because the person who owned the 1.5 billion, which wasn't Mr. Musk, said, I want you to put that in because I want to test the system. It had nothing to do with strength or potential gains. It was purely part of a operation to test something out. And that is why a few days later, Elon Musk sends out a tweet. I think it was a tweet, might have been an email, but let's just say it was a tweet. And he said, Bitcoin's a bit high, isn't it? And then 10,000 dropped off each Bitcoin overnight, as it were. And you would say, why in the name of the Lord would somebody who's put 1.5 billion of his own money then go and damage his own things? And the point was, it wasn't his money anyway. It's not his money. So he's not got that attachment to it like that, which I suppose is a good thing. But that's what's going on. So Bitcoin is as it was. If you take the 1.5 billion out, it is as it was. I'm not a financial expert. I'm not qualified within the old system to advise you. The only difference between somebody who's qualified to advise you and someone who's not is that they have an insurance for many millions, so that if a person goes and, that individual says, I say that you should do this, you should invest in this, and then the client invests and it goes wrong, that client can, under some circumstances, sue that individual, and they've got the insurance to cover it. But that person may know less than many commentators, on the alternative industry. It's just that they're part of the old system and they've got this financial protection. And so what I'm going to say to you is that I think there's a very strong future for cryptos within a potential quantum financial system. Cryptos are quantum. Okay, the codes travel about very quickly between the base and the other outlets. And I think that if I had money to invest, that's the way around this question, isn't it? I'm not telling you what to do. If I had money to invest, I'd wait until the end of the summer, early fall. And what you're going to see, I believe, are a number of new cryptocurrencies coming up, which are not based on greed. They're not run by the old guard. They're going to be run by spiritual organizations or spiritual individuals, spiritual people who have created it solely for the purpose of ensuring that people can transfer money without that greed element to it. That's the sort of crypto that if I had money, I would invest in. So I do think there's a fantastic future for crypto, but I think it's not about the currency, it's the organization behind it. So looking for organizations that are spiritual, morally controlled, and with a real vision of providing a service, not just ripping people off. So that's my vision on that. Let's talk about stocks and bonds. The white hats are doing and will continue to do everything in their power to maintain the stocks and bond market. It's not in their interest for a massive collapse. If at some point when the quantum financial system should come into effect, you will find that a ton of bad people, I like saying that, will no longer be able to manipulate the system, will be like us. In other words, they'll have to learn to make 5 cents on the bond, or maybe 25p or half a euro or something. Whereas what they're used to doing is making hundreds, thousands. So they'll have to be like everyone else and just play the game fairly. So they might want to crash the system, because they'll be really angry that they can no longer rake in the eye-watering amounts of money that they are absolutely used to, because they will not have control over any upcoming quantum system. All right. What we are looking at, what I'm looking at, is you've got to be careful of a potential inflation that could occur. Not many of you, perhaps, hello, Stormbjorn. Not many of you will perhaps remember 1967 in the United States. There was the beginnings of quite an inflation curve. And the bond markets recently have been taking quite a hammer. And I think that when this new system, if, when, should it come in, there'll have to be a transferring period. And it'll just be very interesting to see how the two systems, run along. I don't mean the SWIFT system and the quantum system running along. Stormbjorn, what is it, darling? What I mean is the structures in the old school that were set up. And those structures won't be needed. There's an interesting little aside here that HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, have just announced that they are cutting back on 40% of their office space. Not to be confused with bank space. They're not saying they're closing 40% of their banks. What they're saying is they're closing 40% of their office space. And here in Britain, the story is that, oh, it's to do with the COVID. People are working at home. But what I think we're possibly seeing is that if people know that sometime in the future they're not going to be able to twist the money markets, rake in these obscene amounts of money, treating people like rubbish, massive interest rates, using money that's come from dubious sources like blood diamonds, goodness knows what. If they know that their days are numbered, then the natural reaction would be to say, okay, well, we don't need these people in these big offices in central London or Frankfurt or wherever it might be. So we're going to have less of that. And do you know what I say? I say, let's have more people in the local banks. There are lots of villages in Great Britain that 50, 60 years ago had lots of banks built, and in the last 10 years, we've seen them closed. And there are a ton of people who actually need a physical bank. Okay, if you're 19 and 20 years old, it's not your culture, but there's plenty of old uns about, bless them, that actually want that. And here's a difference between an organization that says we want everything to suit us, as opposed to we want everything to suit the customer or the client or the human being. No matter if it's a school or a hospital, everything is about you as the individual have to change to suit us. We will have the rules and the regulations. We'll decide, shush, shush. We will decide what you. Let's just show, look. There he is. There he is. Stomp be on. Go on. He's got the door open now, so he's fine. So all of these institutions and organizations have existed by writing rules and regulations that suit them. I am not attacking the nurses, the doctors, the counter staff behind the bank, the post guys. I'm not attacking them. I'm attacking the corporate structure, the rules and regulations that were written to make life easier for the organization and to hell with the people. You do it way we want, or we don't want you. That's the attitude. Well, I think those days are dwindling. And you know, we need to look at this. Okay, let's move on a little bit. I want to talk about the human psyche, what's happening at the moment. I was interested to learn that a very good, kind, good, spiritual person was being verbally abused and written abused on, you know, their site. And then lots of people said, when you've done this person, go after Simon Parks. And you're thinking, what's happened to the human psyche that people spend their time in this dreadful low vibration? It's like a whirlpool being sucked down. And I thought to myself, if we look at the history of the human race, if we understand how the human race has been treated since before Babylonian times, then we'll begin to get a picture of the fractured understanding, knowledge, consciousness of human beings. Now, you know, I sometimes say that the human race, or an aspect of the human race, for me, is like walking into a kindergarten and seeing all the kids on the floor playing with guns. And what I'm saying by that, as a you know, metaphorical speak, is that technology has outstripped social awareness, consciousness, values. In other words, the search and the quest for technology has so outstripped our ability to value each other, choose what's right, support the planet, be service to others rather than service to self, that we've gone down this road. And there's a good example of it in the fact that we are expect responses immediately. You send a text message to somebody and you get cross, perhaps, because the person hasn't read it yet, because the person hasn't responded to you. And the more we are sucked into this digital stroke artificial intelligence way of life, the more intolerant we are becoming towards our fellow human beings, and the more robotic we choose to be. And that is extremely dangerous, in my opinion. And so I can see what is happening, perhaps, on this earth, that people are having to make a choice. A choice, what is their real value? Are they in an ever-decreasing circle of a whirlpool? Or are they prepared to break out from the box and try and fully understand and explore the real universe and cosmos that is awaiting to be explored by us? So that's it. I'm looking down at my notes. Most of you who know me well know that I don't use notes, but I've had to write notes what I can't say, okay? What I'm not allowed to say, because it is more important what is coming, and it's more important for all humanity than it is for me just to say, oh, look, I know this, or I know that, or no one else is talking about that. Normally, I can do that in the sense that it's not sort of an embargoed environment. And although nobody has really said to me, you can't talk about this, it's become clear that a number of speakers are attracting the attention of what I would call very evil people who are attempting to glean any information they can so they can feed it back to Satan or whoever else it is that pays them. Let's have a quick look at Trump. He's going to be speaking on the 28th. So I wouldn't expect anything dramatic to occur prior to his speaking. It would take away his thunder. And don't expect, perhaps don't expect too much. I think what he might be talking about is in the new world to come, if you're going to have politics, it's got to be fit for purpose. It's got to be fit for the people. It's got to be fit for what it's actually about, rather than special interest groups. Although he's speaking on behalf of the Republican Party, we should perhaps be a little bit more open in the sense that he's generally talking about, or will be talking about, the political structure to come, and that it doesn't really matter what political party you are. You want actually to know that the people that you've voted for, their heart is pure, their conscience is right, and their soul is right, and they're not just consumed with greed. So I hope that his talk will be to focus minds onto what would be an appropriate political system for the future. And basically, the old systems are dead, and I think he might go down that road. So that's important. In terms of what so many people want to know, I can't see anything happening before the 28th, which is only what, 3 or 4 days away. But into March, I am hopeful that March will be a very pleasant month. Here in Britain, we have an old saying that the March winds will blow and we shall have snow. Well, they used to say that 50, 60 years ago. I don't think that's what we're going to get. I think we're going to get the new shoots of recovery, the new little plants that come up. In the spring, we get all the new flowers that come up, and it's a sign of rebirth. It's a sign of hope to come. So, I'm hoping that March and early April will be very important months, because there'll be, traditionally April is like, Easter and the Easter egg and the new birth. And I hope that March and April are exciting times and good times for all. Want to talk about the children. We here in Connected Consciousness, we are very connected to information that's circulating around this topic. And there are a number of commentators who miss the mark. These videos of the White House, a lot of commentators thought that these were senators or Congress people being arrested. And I can see why you would think that. But the reality is that the tunnels under Capitol Building and the White House are some of the worst in the world. The unspeakable evil in those locations almost exceeds, to my knowledge, anywhere else. And although you might well have National Guard at the gates of the fences, I can absolutely assure you that it's the Marines that have been going down into the deeper level. Some National Guard have been at a level, that's true, but at the deeper levels, it is the Marines and the special teams that have been doing that. And I think it's fairly accurate that smoke has been seen rising from parts of the White House, and I think there's a strong smell of an ammonia type substance that's coming out. And I can tell you that a lot of these vehicles that turned up late at night, guarded by police convoys, were not there to arrest. Some have been let out in handcuffs, that's true, but vast majority of those operations were not arresting staffers or politicians at all. The future then is perhaps tricky because I know what I want, and all of you good people who listen to me, you know what you want, but we're not in government. So are we going to get complete disclosure? I'm not referring to alien disclosure. We'll go on to that in a minute, if I remember. Do we open up to everyone what's been going on? Or do we hide it? You see, if a particular country opens up to the public and the world as to what's been taking place, the issue is, of course, this just doesn't take place in one country. Every capital has this same issue. So a lot of capitals are not going to be very happy if A starts saying what's under its capital and what it's done to put the matter right, and Z is saying, well, we don't want the public to know. Now, I'm not an advocate of world government, but I can actually see if you had one rule, you could actually make everybody at the same time openly tell the truth. But that's very dictatorial, and that's not what we have at the moment. So the point I'm saying is that I am not convinced at the moment that it's a done deal that the full truth will be released. If you can imagine a committee of men and women who make such decisions in the future, I think some of them, like me, would say, we must be totally open, totally transparent. And I, for the last 10 years, have said, I think we need to put everything on the table and trust that people are strong enough to see it. And even if they're not, they still need to know the truth. But there's another group in this little hypothetical committee who will say, no, it'll damage the psyche of America, it will destroy our economy, we'll have massive diplomatic fallout with all the other countries. And so I genuinely don't know. I've said what I want, and I know that I'm sure that most of you would want that as well. But we're not making those decisions. And for me, as it is for you, the good people who listen to me, it is the hardest thing. And part of your, I say your, I'm talking about a human planet's consciousness, part of your healing is to know all of it, every bit of it, and then to move forward. Because if you hide a bit or you don't share the truth, are we not then as bad as the people who were before us, who decided who got this and who got that, and who knew the truth and who didn't know the truth? Who are we to, arbitrarily decide what you should or shouldn't know? And I understand at the time of military operations, at the time of a transition phase, one has to be like that. But when it's all over, then I would hope that people could be trusted to be given the full information as part of that healing process. I think that's really important. All right. Will the true Biden stand up? What are we looking at with this man? Is it the real Joe Biden that's just badly aged? Is it a body double? Is it an actor? A different? Is it an actor? Is it a clone? Or is it an augmented human? I said an argumentative human, but I don't think Joe Biden could hold an argument really. So is he an augmented human? And I genuinely and honestly believe it's all of those things. I can't see Joe Biden really being prosecuted because I don't think he's here anymore. You might be able to do an actor for pretending to be the president of the United States. That might be 25 years. I have no idea. If you were to impersonate a president, no idea. But I don't think that the real man is there anymore. So he was only ever a mask, a figurehead. It is the people behind him and what they represent. They are the group that will have to atone to a higher plane than you or I. They will have to explain what they've done and why they did it. I don't think it'll cut much ice with the Almighty, frankly. So let's finish up on one of my favorite subjects, the UFOs and aliens. What a wonderful thing it was for the Pentagon to release that information that, yes, they have actually got back engineered material or freshly fallen material that they have worked on, and it's no big deal. Now, what a fantastic piece of disclosure fell on deaf ears. The mainstream media didn't want to cover it. A couple of outlets in Britain did. I don't know about the rest of the world. Those of you who have listened to me, you will know that my mother worked on those programs. From the mid 60s perhaps to 1979, her job was to type up documents relating to crashed vehicles all over the planet, which the United States special teams had recovered. Now, if she was alive today, she would probably sit there and smile and look at me and say, vindicated. Because who the hell in the 1960s and 1970s, 80s and 90s and what have you would have believed a woman who said, and of course she never did say because she was very loyal to this country, but who would have believed her if she said, well, actually, I work Monday to Friday and the weekends sometimes typing up these German documents all about flying saucers that have crashed or bits of tech that have been taken out and this is what we do with it today. And so it's really wonderful for me, as the son of my mother, to be able to look at that and say, there you go, finally, the Pentagon has come out and said, yeah, we've got a ton of this material and we've been doing this work for years and years. I think, with what I like to call the new government, whenever that should come along, there will be a real release of information. And I don't mean a piece of typed document with great black lines through it. That's useless. We don't get excited about that anymore. What I need is somebody with a military uniform to go live on television and say, I am authorized to release this. That would be absolutely wonderful. And then all the people who used to write books and were laughed at, there'll be a rush by the big, the big book companies to say to these people, "Ah, oh, write a book, write a book, write a book," because you were right. And there'll be, films made, and it will then be an acceptable topic. It won't just be a joke or a laugh, nor will it be even people dropping in bits of secret tech. We've had that with so many stuff from Hollywood, but it would actually be people who finally could be very open and honest without being verbally abused or professionally destroyed, could produce their films and books and really explore this topic. So, if we're going to be truthful with humanity, we shouldn't pick and choose what humanity can and can't learn, because that's what the elite have been doing for thousands of years. And as human consciousness has evolved, the elite have let go a little bit. I'll give you a thing about in Britain where women couldn't vote. And then there was a big movement, a big, not just women, men as well, to be fair. There was a big movement, but mostly women. And so what did the elite do? They gave ground. They said, I think it was anyone who was, I don't know, 25 years of age. Was it 25 or 31? Don't know. It's not that important to me at the moment. But it was those women can vote, or any woman who's got land can vote, or any woman who's got this, got that. And so as human consciousness evolved, so the controls, they didn't break. What the evil guys did was they played out the line, like you're fishing on a fish and you play the line out. You, well, we've got to keep this human mass in control. We better give them something, not too much, so that they come charging for more and overwhelm us. Not so little that they're not satisfied and they come charging and they want more. Just enough to keep them interested. So they'll come forward a bit, but they won't come forward too far. And that's what these clever Babylonian priests have done ever since time, is they give humanity just enough to keep humanity where they want. But recently, consciousness has evolved at a speed which is outstripping the lower fourth dimension evil energy which controls this. And the evil side have lost control of the narrative. That is why so many people now are just not buying the BS. What will they do now? I mean, I saw the most ridiculous mouthpiece, British newspaper, saying that the British government was going to look into the value of double masks. So it's not good enough to wear one mask. They were looking at the possibility of us wearing two masks. Well, I really don't want to suffocate in the supermarket. Thank you very much indeed. And so you really feel the satanic evil energy trying desperately to box up humanity. And then on the other hand, we've got the real life, the light, the energy of freedom, fighting for its freedom. And so I'm not going to get drawn into, the way that they want to control the virus, because that's, you just get hammered with that. That's how unfree we are on this planet at the moment. Some countries, some states in America are better, some countries are worse. We do need to reclaim our freedom and our sovereignty. The human race has been sleepwalking into a prison for far too long. And I'm so delighted that Connecting Consciousness now has 50,000 members, 50,000 people who are seeking the truth, 50,000 people who are no longer going to be put in a box and have the lid put on them. And the time is coming when the visions and values that those 50,000 members of Connecting Consciousness have will actually be the value, the go-to system on this planet. And this greed, this evil, this evil darkness, this satanic side, which pervades all of our life, should be expunged from the planet. So I couldn't give you the details, the dates, when's this happening, when that's happening, because to do so would be to fail in the duty that those of us who are very fortunate to have those connections, we don't want to do that. What I can say to you is that there is a time coming quite soon when a lot of people who have given up or got despondent or frankly just went mad, they're going to have a new way of looking at the world, and the world will be very new for them as well. But those of you who stay true, not to me, but to yourselves, to the belief that human consciousness will outdo the evil, those of you who stay true, whether it's through a belief in God or whether it's a belief in your higher self, it really doesn't matter. The fact is that if you stay true and you believe that good will triumph over evil, at least you will be able to say to yourself that you didn't break. And for those people who have been vindictive or vicious or nasty to you, just stare at them and say to them, you've got a load of work to do in your own head. Search your higher self, search your soul. You have got a lot of work to do. And don't lecture me. You know, and I don't want you to lecture them. I don't want you to tell them they were stupid and you were right and they were wrong. They know it when the time comes. But I want you to be able to hold that ground and say, if you really truly want to catch up now, this is perhaps how you should do it. So this is a message of hope. And I've always given a message of hope because I believe in it. Because what was shared with me a long time ago is actually playing out now. I've been doing this for 11 years and my message has stayed consistent. Okay, I remember BBC bloody journalist saying to me 5-6 years ago, oh, I'm trying to do a hatchet job on you, because they talk like that, you know. I'm trying to do a hatchet job on you, but your message has stayed the same. I can't do anything with it. So that's fine. You're not going to do anything with it because I'm not going to come on your show. You know, and then you got the good guys. You know, the good guys are the big Radio 4 breakfast show where the previous Pope said that he would consider to baptize aliens. And that just took off around the mainstream, because it was the mainstream. He actually said it. I was in the Vatican when he said it. But that just hit the mainstream. They couldn't hide it because he'd said it in front of a vast crowd and it was, you know, taken around the world. And what was really nice is of all the nastiness and the pettiness and the silliness, actually somebody from the BBC live did a radio broadcast. It was the Radio 4 show that goes on in the morning. And said, look, you're the go-to man here. You know, this is what the Pope has said. Why do you think the Pope has said that? What's going on here? So we know, and I know, that there are good men and women in these corrupt organizations. So what we've got to do is to change the organizations, their rules, their standing orders, the way they work, the value they're given, so that then individuals can say, these are the new rules. This is what I work to. And they need to be morally, spiritually powerful. And those moral, spiritual, powerful rules have to make sure that greedy, corrupt executives no longer have the sway on the earth. Now, many of you came to the earth to do good work. It's a hell of a place, this, because when we arrive here and we reincarnate, we forget why we came here. What did I come here for? Was it really the vacation? Did I really come here to view a sunset? Or did I come here to do some good work? That's about as far as most people get, because they think, well, first of all, what work did I come here to do? And secondly, the system doesn't let me do good work. If you are service to others, under the old system, you weren't rewarded. But if you're service to self under the old system, you were rewarded brilliantly, because it fed the negative, satanic, low-dimensional fourth energy. Well, those days, I think, are beginning to change. And so the energy that we're looking for is fifth dimensional. It's this pure light. It's this service to others. Let's get away from, okay, what's in it for me? Which is just what we've been totally inculcated into. If you do that, what, you know, I do that, okay, what will you do for me if I do that? And that's how it seems to work. What little sayings like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And we've got to overturn thousands of years of mind control, thousands of years of believing that it's the only game in town, that this is normal. I promise you, it's not normal. This is the only blessed planet that I'm aware of where money is the king and controls our daily lives. There is no other, to my knowledge, no other civilization anywhere else where money dictates who you are, how well you will do, how other people respond to you, and whether you can afford a nice grave when you die or whether you'll be put in a pauper's coffin. Now, you may laugh, and I smile sometimes, but you only have to look in art and literature to see when the conscience of rich men is pricked, and they will write books, whether it's Christmas Carol, Dickens, or what have you, where suddenly a person has an epiphany, a hallelujah moment, and they think, now I might be super rich, but this is not right. But of course, they were held in by the control system, the elite club they were part of. So if you can dismantle that, and you can replace that with the real place we need to go, then this control that money has over us, it's pivotal that it's reduced. And one of the ways it can be reduced is by interest rates. If you have a credit card, you might be paying anything from 15 to 20 something percent. Can you imagine in the days to come, months to come, years to come, where it's 1% and that's for admin charges? Can you imagine a mortgage for a house and you pay 1% interest because that's for the admin charges? Can you imagine getting a loan for a car? Here's a really exciting thing. Can you imagine having a job and not paying income tax on it? You pay business tax in the future because it's a business, or maybe you buy a brand new item, you've got to pay a tax on that. But if it's a second-hand item, it's already had tax paid on it, why should you pay it a second time? And hey, we don't pay income tax. And of course, those who are totally mind-controlled will say, but if you don't pay income tax, the system will collapse. Where will they get the money to send you to hospital? Where will they get the money to build the schools? Maybe the 34 quintillion that was in the Vatican Bank? Maybe the vast amounts of money? And I've always, those of you who've known me, know I've referred to it as King Solomon's gold, which is the line of David, which is the Christ line. That is the people's money. It's the people's money and must be returned to the people. Please don't think of someone standing on the sidewalk handing out gold bars, if only. But it wouldn't do any good, because we'd all go and buy the nicest bar of chocolate, I would, that you can with it. And then when you spent it all, we're back in a trap system. So King Solomon's gold must be used to change the way that services are delivered on this planet, to show people how we can run a new type of world, how spiritual projects should be favoured over greed, corporate nastiness. And so that's the world that I came here to fight for, and many of you did as well. And so I'm here to tell you today that I'm not at all downbeat. I am confident. I have a good message, and there's a lot of people out there who frankly don't want to hear that message, and that's fine, but you're not going to live in my world. The world that's coming in our lifetime is not a place for those people. Now, I don't know where they're going to go, but it certainly won't be around me, and the energy frequency is going to change. And so satanic, evil, corrupt people are going to find themselves very much on the outside. And those of you who have service to others as your principal aim, your belief in service, full stop, will be rewarded. At the moment, only the bad guys are rewarded and the good guys are hammered. We need to swap it over in the sense that the good guys are rewarded. I don't want to hammer the bad guys. I just want to reward the good guys. So the bad guys can say, okay, that's the new game in town. That's the new game in town. So listen, thank you for your time. And once again, I am very sorry that I can't feed the hunger for dates and times and all of that. But really, Connecting Consciousness was set up by myself as a spiritual organization. So I am happy to give dates and times when I can, but I will always have it under the umbrella of a spiritual happening. It's a spiritual movement on this earth that is unstoppable. And I know there are many individuals and organizations which in the coming months will play their part in delivering that new vision. And I think it's a very exciting time. So thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.